Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with Stephanie Neal.
When I think of home, I think of a resting place. A place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in Oz, a journey I'll never forget. When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love alone. I wish I was home, I wish I was back there with the when that makes the time.
morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Stephanie Mills right here on The Love Journey, family. Yes, home. When I think of home, I think of you. Love overflowing. All right, family, let's get ready in now. Tune within. Entering into the presence, entering into the stillness, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that grace spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. We recognize it as God, the good. The omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so in this right now moment, as we become very intentional about the breath, I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, then release the breath. Recognizing that there is power in the breath. Together, family, collectively, we breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am, that I am God. Let's breathe again. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself. With compassion and love, I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Forgiveness meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so. That you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release. Knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being. And every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale. and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. A slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. And drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space, and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Thank you for this opportunity to love, to forgive, to release and let go. Thank you, God. Thank you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. That was Marvin Sapp. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to read from the science of mind, and then we're going to get started. Thank you for tuning in. Today's conversation on the science of mind is designing from within. Dante once said, one single spark of all the glorious light for future generations to discern. You see, as we survey all the conditions surrounding us in our daily living, we need to appraise them differently. First, they are not immovable and unchangeable. Second, we should not let them influence us to a greater extent than we desire to be influenced by them. At this point, we can again remind ourselves that we should not judge by appearance, but should judge righteously. Look beyond the appearance and rightly determine the cause of back of it, that cause which is unseen. On the mental and spiritual level, we need to believe in a power greater than any negative experience of the world. A negative experience is only a misuse of this power. In addition, we need to walk calmly through life with a complete sense of security based on our certainty that our relationship to God cannot be disturbed by any external condition. We design our new life from within, not from the outside, but from within. We turn to the creative center within us, to the creative power of that thought, which is the action of mind in us as us, and at this point accept new ideas, building them into sound patterns of thought, knowing that the way in which they appear in our experience will make use of only the best possible materials consistent with the pattern for their construction. This comes from a book called A New Design from Living, written in 1959 on page 108. Today's affirmation, I announce that the law of good, governed by divine intelligence, is active in all my affairs. I announce that the law of good, governed by divine intelligence, is active in all my affairs. That's the affirmation. Nothing but good shall come to us. Family, I saw this article. And because this month is honoring breast cancer and domestic violence, I saw this article and it was called How to Heal from Abuse. So I was kind of debating which way I wanted to go with this conversation because I was thinking about the inner child healing and how significant healing an inner child. But I wanted to read this article, How to Heal from Abuse, because so many people have gone through or have been in or is in an abusive relationship. And abuse can happen emotionally, physically, sexually, spiritually, and financially. And I remember the time when we had a guy come on our line, a gentleman who talked about his experience as an abuser. And I thought it was a very interesting perspective to speak to the abuser because we often speak to the abusee. But we'll never work. I've never heard an interview pretty much with someone speaking to the one who was the abuser. And so the one thing that I learned from listening to him was that abuse comes in many forms. That abuse comes in many, many forms. And one of the things he said was cheating was a form of abuse. And when I just said it, it sounded like so much clarity. But when he said it, it felt like an aha moment. Like, wow, I never thought as a serial cheater, as an abuser. And he broke down so many things. And so this article I'm about to read is How to Heal from Abuse. You might want to take some notes because it gives you plenty of things to do to heal. I think it's 10 things it gives us to heal from the abuse. I was like, wow. How to heal from the abuse. And it may require an open mind. It might even trigger you. So my ask is, as I read this, to keep an open mind and to stay curious. If you find yourself getting triggered, decide to be curious about why you're feeling that way. Today could be a breakthrough, a big healing. See, because the topic today is abuse. The sad truth is that it happens a lot more than we can ever think. Again, there's all kinds of abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, spiritual, and financial. One of the greatest shocks of my career came when I was first getting started. You see, I had no idea how many women had been experiencing abuse. Yes, men experience abuse too. However, my clients are 99% women, so I am exposed to more stories of women being abused than I am men. So this message will focus on abuse directed towards women, but in no way negates that there is abuse towards men. You see, the first time a client told me about the abuse that they had been through, I froze. I really didn't know what to do. Abuse wasn't really a part of my childhood. But I asked the question and took this courageous woman through a few of the intervention processes that I had used with other clients to move through emotionally tough situations. I was 100% transparent with her that I didn't have any experience working with abuse, and she gave me her permission to keep going. But something amazing happened. Within the 6 months, she reported back that not only had the effects of the past abuse lessened, but she had forgiven the person that hurt her, and she was quitting her job and moving to California to start the career of her dreams. She realized that because she had been through such a hard thing and gotten through it, that she could help other women do the same thing. She realized that healing, forgiving, and moving past the abuse didn't justify what happened to her, but it did change how she related to the past. And because she's related to the past in a new way, she was free from the abuse. She then followed through to move to California and to this day works to inspire others, mostly women, to work through abuse and embrace self-love. So at the end of our time together, she told me she was grateful for what had happened to her. Could not imagine. How could someone be so grateful for a painful thing? Her answer stayed with me forever. She said what happened to her was a part of making her who she is today. And who she is today is someone who can help others and serve to heal. I thought to myself, wow. She said that helping others is a big part of her purpose. And she was unsure if she would have ever gotten to the place of being of service if she hadn't gone through what she went through. To me, this is nothing short of a miracle. I absolutely cried on the phone with her as we both recognized what a powerful healing moment this was. As we both recognized the breakthrough, not only for her, for everyone that she would come into contact with from that moment forward. That was almost a decade ago, and since then, I've worked with thousands of women who have suffered through abuse, and I've learned some lessons from the trenches. Today, I want to share them with you in hopes that I can help you break free of any past abuse and help someone you know to break free. The 10 lessons I've learned helping people heal from abuse. Number one, it's important to have a mentor work with you so that you can illuminate blind spots and help keep you on track. I can't tell you how important a mentor is for every area of our life. Oh my God, it's such a blessing to have someone who can mentor you.
Number two, before you heal the past, you must feel the past. Oh, now that's a tweetable thing. Before you can heal the past, you must feel the past. With the help of a mentor, getting in touch with the scary feelings from the past and bearing witness to them is powerful. You begin to realize that this feeling will not kill you. In fact, when you feel them, accept them, and give them a voice, you begin the healing process. So you can't heal what you can't feel. And we only as sick as our secrets, family. You can't heal what you can't feel. Say that again. You cannot heal what's not being revealed. I was going to say revealed. Before you can heal the past, you must feel it. Feel it. Feel it, family. So many of us are afraid to feel and be with our emotions. You see, I've learned to, because I was one who suppressed my own emotional process. I was even thinking before I got on the love journey this morning how I used to imagine myself with a mother and father, and how I had this make-believe world that I had came from. And I was thinking about my dream of having a mother and a father and having an environment of being loved and appreciated. How important it was for me to truly be true to myself and authentic. Meaning I had to be realistic and go in and start to feel the things that I was starting to suppress, the things that I didn't want to look at anymore or even at any point. But I had to say to myself one day, if I want to be something different, then I got to change the mind that created what I am in this right now moment. See, Albert Einstein said once that you can't solve a problem with the same mindset that. And so I had to go in and heal my past by feeling. I think if we take nothing else away from this morning, we got to look at those parts of us, the part of us that don't want to feel or even realize that we're responsible for where we are right now. We got to feel it, family. Three, it's counterproductive in the beginning of the healing process to tell someone who has been through trauma to get over it, to see it differently, or that fear is false evidence appearing real. You see, the wound must first be witnessed as it is in the raw. I'm so glad they said that. I'm not a big fan of false evidence appearing real. I'm not a big fan of figuring out how to get over something when I haven't even faced what it is or seeing it differently. I'm not a big fan of how we're told to forgive, forgive, forgive without acknowledging and validating that I have something that I feel. No matter if nobody else feels validated about it or feels or see it the way I see it, I feel it and I see it. And I don't need you to validate my pain. I need you to understand and hear it. I need to own it. I need to feel it first. And I believe there are stages to forgiveness. Okay, I done got sidetracked in my family. Because that's something that we're always caught up in. We're always taught to forgive, and I know I'm the forgiveness queen. I'm forgiving all the time, right? Always teaching about forgiveness. But I think that first we got to acknowledge that I'm mad at you. I'm upset. I'm angry. I didn't like the way you treated me. I didn't feel good. It didn't make me feel good. And I want to honor the fact that I'm upset with the fact that you did this to me. Whether I let them know, whether I write this letter and burn it, or whether I write it and give it to them, or whether I go face to face, I need to own my feelings first.
but I need to own my feelings with no expectation of someone else validating. My abuser may not admit to or validate my pain, and I have to be okay with that. So I just want to say, you don't have to get over it, see it differently, or have a definition that fear is false evidence apparently in your beginning process of your healing. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need to get over it. And I'm not saying eventually that you don't need to see it differently. But what I am saying is, it's a process. And it's okay if you're in the process of being in your angry stage. I can't believe stage. But what I say is, we can't stay stuck on those streets too long. Number four, when you've been through abuse, it's important to see what happened to you with a new set of lenses. You see, when you look back on those painful memories, you will see that you didn't remember the full truth of what happened, because most abuse occurred in our formative years. It's easy to look at the person who hurt us as big and powerful and scary monster. But when you look back and see what was really going on, you'll see that underneath all the anger, the rage, the pain, and the scary exterior of the person or the people that hurt you is a scared little child, perhaps in an adult body, who is acting out their own pain on you. You begin to see them not as a monster, but as a wounded child who didn't heal, because hurt people hurt. Hurt people hurt. So I was sent, let me tell you, I was sent the PDF version of I call it a testimonial, of a young lady who was caught up in the rapture of R. Kelly. It's called Sex Me, I think that's the name of the book. 91 pages. I read it in about an hour. I sat in one space and read it. It was so intriguing. She was such a phenomenal writer. But my point of it is that in her book, she says that R. Kelly was very, 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 very abusive. And she said that in the last year of being with R. Kelly, he used to handcuff her every night to the bed so she wouldn't leave. But as I was reading the book about all the abuse and all the things he did, I felt like there was a wounded child there. And I started to think differently. How can we do this thing differently? It's important that we see how these things occurred in our lives and what it meant to us. It's important that we go through that process. Because when we are wounded in the little girls and little boys, we act out in many, many, many ways. And we become functional sometimes in our own wounds. Meaning we get to function in our dysfunction. And we wonder why we attract what we're attracting in our life, because our dysfunction is attracting their dysfunction, which means that we're being invited to love deeper. Number five, when you see the woundedness of the person who hurt you, you can have the first sign of empathy. This does not mean that what they did is okay, nor does it justify what happened, nor does this mean that you would allow behavior like this to continue. However, you do put yourself into contact with their pain, and you will see that you had nothing to do with their pain. You were at the whim of their pain. You may have formed your belief about the world because of what they did to you, but you now see that it's not about you. You realize that hurt people, and you start to see that their trauma and abuse are almost generational and are in some ways passed down and inherited. When you see this, you will realize that the person who hurt you is living inside their own self-made prison, hell and purgatory. Now, I don't necessarily say that we give them a pass or through the process of healing our own wound. But what I am saying here, a couple of things. Childhood memories play such a vital role in who and what we become as adults. So it's important that we start becoming different kind of parents. It's important that we become different kind of people. And energy is so powerful that when we heal the inner wound, that the energy of in our environment rises, and those around us will do the same, or they will leave us. We can no longer thrive in a dysfunctional environment, family. Seven, be willing to heal and forgive. You see, this is a big moment for abuse survivors. There can be big resistance to forgiveness. Why? Because there's a commonly held misconception that somehow forgiveness makes right what the person done to you. It sort of justifies the abuse and the idea that forgiveness is the same thing as they say what happened was okay. But this is not the case. Forgiveness does not make what happened okay. It does not dismiss the gravity of what happened. However, forgiveness is how you get free. Forgiveness is the best revenge, because when you forgive the person who hurt you and you forgive yourself for staying hurt, because you start to take your power back. And it feels good. It feels good. You see, forgiveness is important. But as I told you earlier, I believe forgiveness, it takes steps. And so I want you to be compassionate and empathy, have empathetic, emotional love for yourself, because guess what? Your experience is not somebody else's experience. Your journey to forgiveness is not somebody else's journey. So if it takes you a little bit longer to get to that space of forgiveness, it's okay. Because it's so absolutely okay to be with yourself wherever you are. And to be patient with yourself. See, after forgiveness comes the aha moment, which is this. You realize the cost of not forgiving. One of the biggest moments of awakening for abuse victims is to see that they do not forgive if they do not get with, if they keep playing small and blaming the past for their current circumstances. Then they are not allowing the person who abused them to still win. See, I worked with a client recently on this topic. She had been through significant abuse as a child, and when she realized that not living her life to the fullest, not really going for it, meant that the people who hurt her were still winning. This was a moment of liberation. You see, number nine, when you realize that the best revenge is success, you get busy living on purpose. Let me say that again. Number nine is when you realize that the best revenge is success, you get busy living on your purpose. It's reasonable to understand that when an abuse has been suffered, the first reaction is to shut down and learn how to play it safe. However, you were not born to play it safe. You have an infinite soul that was forged from a creator that loves you and gave you a unique and specific purpose. And not living that purpose means that the abusers are still winning. It's natural to think at first that playing a bigger game, forgiving and living your purpose, will on some level re-trigger the past abuse. But that's not so. See, the worst is behind you. The best healing, the best revenge, the best way to take your power back is to live your purpose and serve others along the way. 10. Finally, you realize that there is a gift in your pain. Let me let you marinate on that. There is a gift in your pain. There are so many people in the world who will not let these words marinate in their heart.
They don't have the tools or the resilience or the privilege or the grace that you've been given to heal. When you realize that the abuse you've gone through has given you a specific form of empathy for others who have gone through similar abuse, you can bring meaning to what happened to you. And when you can dictate your life to be of service to others who went through similar abuse, you can find gratitude for what happened to you. Why? Because whatever reason you've been through, what you've been through has happened to you. Why? Because whatever reason you've been through has prompted you to arrive at a place of helping others who don't have the tools and the perspective that you have. This is where you take your power back 100% from the past and never look back. See, look, healing from abuse is not easy. The body always remembers. Come on, somebody. The cells in the body always remember. It's an emotional and scary process. It's not easy, and it takes time and courage. There are an unlimited number of reasons we can find to blame others for what they did to us, but that blame does not heal you. Blame makes you not strong. It keeps you stuck. Resentment and blame are thinking that you are giving someone else a dose of poison. Resentment and blame are thinking that you are giving someone else a dose of poison, but in the end, you'll realize that it is you who has been living in resentment and blame. There's more in this life for you than a life of resentment and blame. Common question I ask is, aren't some things unforgivable? And the answer is no. Is there anything that's unforgivable? And the answer is no. Everything can be forgiven, just not forgotten. Forgiving does not make you your enemy right. It does not justify the abuse. It does not lessen the significance of what happened to you. Forgiveness helps you heal. And when you heal yourself and you can help others, when you heal yourself, you stop yourself from reliving the nightmare of abuse every day. This leaves me with the final question I get asked. Why did this happen to me? What is this abuse a part of God's plan in my life? Why would a loving God allow this to happen? And this question, and this is a question that I do not have 100% answer for. I cannot know the mind of God, nor can I speak on behalf of God's will for you, me and all of us. However, I can offer you a suggestion about how to answer the question. After working with thousands of women who have suffered through the abuse, I do not have an educated guess. But what I do have is this. Consider that you decided to be born in this life to bring light, to bring healing, and to help stop the cycle of abuse and violence on the planet. Come on, Holy Spirit. Consider that the fastest way for you to make this impact is to have a first-hand experience of the pain you were born to heal. Consider that the pain you went through could be viewed as a very intense form of learning at an experiential level. Consider that your experience is what gives you the passion, the drive, and the empathy to help others who couldn't be as strong as you are. Consider that when you speak of your experience and the pain you overcome, that your testimony is healing to those who are too scared to express their shame. Consider that your resilience and your truth, the demonstration of your example of healing, can give hope to those who don't know how to wake up from the trance of past trauma. Often asked, is it God's will that you abuse? I say absolutely not. But the question I can help you answer is this: what am I going to do about it now? That's the question. And at this moment, you can choose liberation, freedom, and healing. You can choose to see the hurt of the person who abused you and become willing to forgive them. You can become willing to take your power back and cut the cord from your past. You can become willing to serve others who have been through this and help them. You can become willing to see this all through a different lens. Your pain is what makes you special. Your trauma is not what makes you significant. Let me say that again. Your pain is not what makes you special. Your trauma is not what makes you significant. For some reason, pain will make you think you're special. It makes you think you're the only one. See, what makes you significant and what makes you special is what you choose to do with it. We cannot change the past. We cannot minimize what happened. We can justify this behavior. We cannot justify this behavior, but what we can do is this. We can change how we relate to our past. See, the past, after all, is that. The past, it's a ghost. It's not real. The past does not exist. So no matter what you've been through in the past, when you forgive, when you let go, when you heal, then you can serve others. You see, you can change how you relate to the past. And when you change that, your future is unlimited. With the unlimited future, you no longer allow the people to hurt you who have dominion of your life, your choices, and fulfilling your purpose. What was happening? What's happening for you? I don't know. And the truth is, the answer to that question is unknowable. And in search for the answers, we lose focus on a far more powerful question. What are you going to do about it now? What is the divine expressing through me right now? See, there is hope. There's a way out. Healing is possible. But you got to be willing to take the first step. See, you got to be willing to take the first step. Are you willing to release the pain that you associated in every cell in your body? You see, the body remembers abuse. You see, your body remembers when you were abused. I have a coaching client that I coach, and she was going through a process, and so we were talking about some of her past experiences, and I told her, do you know your body remembers the beat down? So when you do start to separate from that situation, it's important that we cleanse. Cleanse the body. Go on a detox to detox the stuff that's been holding on to the memory, the data, the information of that situation. You see, it took me going in to heal my little girl. You see, it took me going in and spending some time sitting in the middle of that bed, healing the little girl inside of me. That little girl. That little girl who thought nobody saw her. The thought that no one loved her and that she wasn't important. But I come to tell you today, she's getting better and better every day in every way. But see, it took the work. It took me doing the work, family. It took me doing the work. You see, that little girl, she was holding on to too much pain. But the pain wasn't hurting nobody but herself. I'm talking about me, family. I'm talking about saying no when I wanted to say yes, saying yes when I wanted to say no, being overwhelmed because I didn't know how to say no when I should have said no. Being overwhelmed because I was giving too much and not receiving anything. You see, that little girl didn't know how to let go. Stayed too long in broken situations. That little girl was looking how to heal. It's important that that little inner child needs to hear us say certain things. You see, that little girl and me needed me to really pay her some attention. And that little girl reminded me that I wasn't broken and that I didn't need to fix myself, but that I was perfectly imperfect and powerful beyond measure. Let me say that again. That little girl inside of me reminded me that I was perfectly imperfect and powerful beyond measure. That little girl in me reminded me that I had a reason for the season of my life. And I didn't have to no longer make a decision for my wounded pain self. And I was making plenty of decisions from my pain and not from my empowered self. You see, I had to stop an assessment of who this little girl was and why did she allow herself to stay stuck for too long in situations that didn't honor her. And I had to start to tell myself, Janine, I love you. And so here's some things that I want to remind you to nurture your inner child. I want to remind you that there's some inner child healing that needs to take place on this planet. Because the little children are really I apologize. I didn't know the phone went out, y'all. So, but I want to remind us that we have to keep reminding ourselves. You see, as children, a lot of us believed that we needed to accomplish goals and get good grades and make the team and feel our older sibling footsteps to be lovable. You see, we've been taught or conditioned some way that we had to live up to somebody else's expectations to be loved. We may not have had parents who told us that we deserve love no matter what we achieve. Some of us may not have had parents who consider showing love and tenderness to be a sign of weakness, but we can tell ourselves that we are lovable now. And so I want you to say it whenever you see yourself in the mirror. Say it in random moments. Love is the key to healing, so give it to yourself. Love is the key to healing, and give it to yourself. And you ain't been loved till you've been loved by you. You see, that little girl, that little boy need nurturing. Oftentimes you need to tell your little boy, little girl self, I hear you. Oftentimes we feel hurt. We push down our feelings and try to act strong. But for a lot of us, this stems from our childhood when we were frankly hurt. Quit your crying. Or I'm going to give you something to cry about. And then get smacked in the mouth because nobody wants to hear what we got to say. Can you imagine smacking a little child in their mouth and what happens to your voice when you get older? That becomes rooted in how you're going to navigate through life. You're going to be smacked in your mouth in unseen ways because you're going to remember that your voice wasn't important. And so you're going to, guess what? You're going to show up that way. And when your voice is really needed to be heard, you're not going to know how to say no, or you're not going to know how to say yes, or you're not going to know how to speak up for yourself, or you're going to turn into rude behavior. You're going to most likely not know how to set boundaries. Why would we slap children in their mouth? And these feelings don't just go away. Children should be heard and not seen. I mean, I got it wrong. Children should be seen and not heard. That's not good. Smacking them in the mouth. Quit your crying. I'm going to give you something to cry about. Those feelings don't go away. They fester inside of us, affecting the choices we make as adults until we make the conscious effort to hear our little small voice. That little girl inside of you, that little boy who wants to be heard. See, it took me a while to acknowledge that I felt abandoned. And so I felt like I was going to always be abandoned. And I carried that into my adult relationships. To heal, I had to acknowledge how my not having my mother and father in my life, not showing up for important occasions, affected how I felt, that I didn't feel important, that I didn't think I mattered. And sometimes I still feel myself still feeling that way. When I did my launch party, when I was part of the launch party for the 95.1, it was important to me to really know that it was okay to be seen. It was a work through progress when they wanted to do pictures. I had to work through the mental aspect of all the junk that's still here. And so all the people who came, call or write, it touched my soul because it was part of my healing journey. It's part of my healing journey that it was okay. Because those smacks in my mouth, those times when I was told to shut up and that I wasn't important, and those things that happened that never acknowledged that I was important to anything and anybody affected me. And I had to learn to give a voice to all the pain that I stuffed down for so many years. Let me say that again. I had to learn how to give voice to the pain that I had stuffed down for so many years. And so instead of suppressing the voice of your inner child, I want you to say, I hear you. We're going to work through it. And it's going to be okay. You see, I have to say that to myself all the time. Before I go on the stage, before I have to take pictures, before I'm video, I always have to remind myself that it's okay. That little girl inside of me, that it's okay, Jimmy. You're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. To remind myself constantly that I'm deserving of all the good things. See, as children, many of us assume that we deserve to be abused, shamed, or abandoned. We told ourselves that we were bad kids and maybe we must have did something wrong. But that's simply not true. In many cases, the people who wounded us simply just didn't know any better, any other way. Perhaps our mom was beaten as a child, so it was the only way she knew how to parent her daughter. A child is innocent and pure. Our child don't deserve to be abused, shamed, or abandoned. It's not the child's fault, and don't. We hold on to it as if it is. We probably didn't have the capacity to understand that. Now, as adults, we do, but the residue is still there. I can't tell you how many times I have to remind myself that I am so deserving and that I came to this planet to play full out and that I have to stop playing down my greatness. And that I deserve to live a full life. And so I have to remind myself over and over again, Janae, you are so deserving. Before I take that microphone and walk on the stage, it's a mental process. Because I am deserving. And people do want to hear my story. And people do want to hear what I got to say. And that I do matter. And that I am important to the fabric of this planet. Apologize to myself sometimes. Because I've always been an overachiever in school and things and work. Because that's where I found my value in my intellectual ability to get good grades. I always thought that maybe if I could get enough money, and I was chasing money and doing things, and I had to apologize to Janine, my little girl self, who was feeding her ego.
who lost everything, and then I had to lose everything, and then it took a lot. It took a lot to face the world, realizing that these things don't make me, I made them with nothing. Sometimes nothing in my bank account. Losing everything. I'm telling you, every zero, the world. The same world who saw me driving Mercedes and fur coats and diamonds, then to go to zero. Sometimes, not even knowing how I was going to feed the kids sometimes. But God always made a way. But that ego kept saying, oh, you don't have this no more. You're not driving that big car no more. Even to not even having a car. But I chose to work on myself and move past it because I said to myself, things do not make Janine and Ingram. I make who I am, and I'm so grateful for the loss because in the loss, I found me. In the loss, I found who I am. I'm not going to lie. I guess I was. My ego was filled with the fact that I drove a certain kind of car, had fur coats or diamonds or whatever that was. Not in a egotistical, rude way, but in a way that, yeah, look at me. Look what I got. Look, because maybe in some way I thought that was what it took for me to be seen or me to be accepted. But in reality, I was accepted just because I am. You see? I even realized that my friendships was based on need-based. If I couldn't fulfill a need, I didn't think that I was important in the friendship. And now I know that I'm important to the friendship just because I am. And then I had to tell myself, I forgive myself. Forgive myself for staying in relationships that didn't honor me for too long. Staying in places that didn't honor me for too long. See, one of the quickest ways to destroy ourselves is to hold on to stuff that's not honoring. To hold on to the shame. To hold on to the guilt. To hold on to the anger. Myself. For having the expectation that I should have did better. And then I had to tell myself, Janine, I thank you. I thank you for never giving up. Thank you, Janine, for getting through those moments in life together with strength and perseverance. You see, I had to tell myself, I appreciate you, Janine, for having the courage, the strength to face each day. Thank you, Janine. And even though I was navigating life in a way I was navigating, I even had to thank myself for the things that I created to protect me, even if it was not the best thing. Even if in my way I was holding on to those painful memories. You see, I had to remind myself that Janine, your little girl self, doesn't deserve your judgment. She deserves your gratitude and respect. And most of all, I thank myself for never giving up on love. Never giving up on love. And I had to remind myself that I did my best. You see, because I was always kind of cruel and critical to myself. You see, if I made a mistake, I beat myself up. If I fell a little short, I beat myself up. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get through it in my mind. I couldn't shut that voice down. I had to, and then it was the other part of me who never felt good enough. Pretty enough, amazing enough, or whatever enough. And I had to tell myself I was more than enough just the way I am. I was more than enough just the way I am. I didn't need to do anything different to be enough. I had to let go of the idea of perfection because I realized perfection was the enemy of my greatness. And when I let go of the idea of my perfection, the fear of my failure receded, then we can see, then I was able to allow myself to experiment and see things unfold. Okay, it don't have to be perfect. Just do it, Janine. Sometimes I had to let go and just allow. You see, I started saying these things to the little girl inside of me. And it helped me to experience more love and more joy and more peace. It helped me to become more confident and compassionate with myself. I had to learn how to acknowledge, accept, and begin a process of reparenting my inner self. So I want to leave you with this one thought. What is the one thing you most want to say to that little girl or that little boy inside you today? What is the one thing you want to say to that little girl or that little boy? I remind you of these things that I gave myself, and maybe these might be one thing you want to say, or it might be something else. One, I love you. Two, I hear you, Janine. Janine, you matter. Three, you deserve this, Janine. You're deserving. You're more than enough. Four, I apologize, Janine. Five, I forgive you. Six, thank you. And seven, Janine, the world is waiting on your greatness. Right now, you are all that God is. That's my message. That is my message. I want to remind you, family. You are enough. If you're on Blog Talk, press 1. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or you want to add your voice or something that you want to put in this room, let's do it. Star 6 if you're on teleconference line. All right, family, just a reminder. October 13th in the Baltimore area. One God, One Thought. Go to Eventbrite. The Festival of Healing starts at 9 o'clock to 5:30. Get your tickets today and don't delay. That's going to be Saturday in the Baltimore area. If you're in the Chicagoland area, turn to FM 95.1 on Friday. That's tomorrow, family. Hear me right after the Tom Joyner Morning Show from 9 to 11. 9 to 11 right here on the Club Snapping. And if you are in another area or you're out of the Chicagoland area in any way, or maybe you're not getting great reception, you can go to 95.1clubstepping.com. and push listen here, or you can download the app at Future Vision Entertainment. Future Vision Entertainment, and pull up 95.1 Club Stepping. That's Janine right here on the Love Journey. We're going to be right there on 95.1 FM Club Stepping, family. Listen to us. All right, family, I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God, family. I want you to choose love. Love is the only choice. Love is the only choice. This is Mesa. Have a great day, family. There's nothing better than love.
There's nothing better than love.
I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed the night and almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say she's still in love, and no one can take her love away.
Wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear him say he's still in love, and no one can take his love away.
I wanna be loved.
Better, baby.